Welcome to Channel Island Fox Talk, the podcast of Friends of the Island Fox, a nonprofit organization devoted to education and the conservation of California's endangered Channel Island fox. Visit us on the web at islandfox.org. It's November 15th, 2007, and autumn is the time of year when biologists across the Channel Islands are finishing up their population counts and health checks on the endangered island foxes. This is Carrie Dearborn, and on a foggy September day, Pat Meyer, president of Friends of the Island Fox, and I had the rare opportunity to go out in the field with Julie King, fox biologist for the Catalina Island Conservancy. The island foxes on Santa Catalina are increasing in number, but a new threat is causing them problems: ear mites. A young female fox, captured in a box-type trap, was about to get a health check.
This one is very docile.
And what do you have in your hand right now?
This is what's called an otoscope. This is just like what they use at the doctor's office to look in your ears. We're going to be looking in the fox's ears with these. There's an ear tumor study that's being conducted by the Institute for Wildlife Studies, and Dr. Vickers is looking for strange nodules or growths within the inner ear canals of the foxes. And so when I look inside, if I see any of those bumps, then we can have Dr. Vickers biopsy those and send them in to determine if they're cancerous or not.
With the fox held gently in her lap, Julie looked into its pointed ears.
And because they don't want to transfer anything that would be in this ear to this ear, I wipe it off with alcohol. And it's stored in a disinfectant solution between each fox as well. It's in a container with chlorhexidine, which is an antiviral, antibacterial solution. Because since we don't know the cause of ear tumors yet, we would hate for it to be a bacterial or viral thing that we are spreading from one animal to the next.
I don't know if any of you want to look in the otoscope to see what mites look like. But they're
going
to
be visible and a little gross to see.
Ooh, yes, it does make you glad that you don't have them. Wow, you can see them moving around.
Mm. It would have to be a constant irritation, you would think.
You want to look in?
Through the otoscope, they look like miniature termites.
And these are the mites that you also see in the cats, the feral cats.
It's a feline ear mite.
It's a what?
A feline ear mite. And I'm not sure you can see them.
Yeah, moving.
So this is a little ball of wax with all the white dots are all of the ear mites that are moving around.
Julie, have they any idea, say, in an ear like that, how many of those mites could be in there?
Probably hundreds to thousands.
Really? Wow.
And we scale them on a scale of 1 to 3 also. So 1+, 2+, 3+, and it's kind of a subjective call on how many mites are in there. Or just, if we only see 1 or 2, sometimes they only have a few, but 3+ is they're just everywhere, like a seething mass of white.
And they're reproducing in there.
Yes, they are. And they can be transferred from fox to fox. So mothers would transfer it to their pups.
And this is from the feral cats.
Yes. And so the only island fox populations that have ear mites are the three southern islands, so Clemente, Catalina, and San Nicolas. Mm-hmm. And they're the only three islands that also have feral cats. Mm. So, and the feral cats often don't have the ear mites, and they're not affected by them the way that the foxes are.
Wow.
After the health check, the fox was released back into the wild.
They're not always this nice.
And we took a moment to talk with Julie.
And the reason why you trap at this time of year is...
The pups are now old enough that they're weaned and they're not completely reliant upon their parents. The breeding season isn't in full swing either, because the females can only get pregnant a few days out of the year. We would hate to have females in traps and like, hi,
not able to get back to pups.
Right. Oh, and so if you have real young pups, you don't want to separate lactating mothers from their puppies, because they could be killed by, you know, other foxes or ravens or cats or whatever. So it's kind of the best time of year to get the pups of the year. They're old enough to actually be away from their moms and be caught in traps. You can vaccinate them, pit tag them, do all of that, and not have any harm done with the family structure.
And can you put collars on them?
We don't collar any pups.
Okay, because they're still growing.
They're still growing. Oh. So we'll put them on a one-year-old because they're full size, mostly full size by the time they're a year old. And the collars are typically only good for a year. And because we trap so intensively every year, we can for sure go and make sure that they're still a good fit a year later.
Now, a big question that people ask us is, do the collars bother the foxes? And do you see signs of foxes having collars that another fox has tried to chew off, or that the fox has tried to get off?
They all chew on the collars.
They all chew on them.
Oh, there's teeth marks all over them. And it's obviously not their own teeth. But yeah, they're puppies, I'm sure. You know, they're curious puppies. And if their mom has a collar, it's something there to chew on. And
good teething.
Doing that, I'm sure it's something that if they're fighting, they can latch onto too and grab. But I guess that beats the skin.
Yeah.
Beats puncturing that.
That's true.
I don't think that it bothers them a great deal. We're very good about making sure that there's a two-finger fit, that we can get our two fingers underneath the collar all the way around.
That's like domestics.
But it's not enough to get their paw caught in, so that if they were scratching themselves with their back leg, that if they got a paw caught, they couldn't get it out.
Right.
And so we make sure that it's not that loose, but that it's not too tight.
Radio collars on wild island foxes are vital for monitoring their location and well-being. After the wildfires on Catalina, radio collars helped Julie King and her fellow biologists determine that all of the collared island foxes in the fire area had survived. Your donations to Friends of the Island Fox help fund radio collars and conservation efforts to save the island fox, an endangered species that's found only in California and nowhere else in the world. For more on the island fox and photos of Julie performing the health check on a female island fox, visit our website at islandfox.org. Until next time, remember, working together, we can save the island fox. You've been listening to the Friends of the Island Fox Channel Island Fox Talk. For more about the endangered island fox, visit our website at islandfox.org. You can subscribe to Fox Talk by following the links on our website. Our theme music is by David Lynch, and Fox Talk is a production of animalbites.net, animalbyte.net, and Eclipse One Media, eclipse1.com. Eclipse One, creating new media for a bold world.